Alright guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show.
Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you. So sit back and enjoy the show.
During World War II, I was in prison in a Nazi camp. I died there, or so I thought. Instead, I became a creature of the dark world. Now I fight to protect my daughter. I am Marcus the Vampire. The book is now available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and RetortoFamilyBooks.com.
Hi, this is Brandy Alexander, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Now, this is a unique opportunity because this is also not only a podcast recording, but also recording for my YouTube channel. So this will be, this episode will be both for the Mark the Shark Show as well as the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. Today, we got a special guest. He's a gentleman that kind of follows my, has similar interests to me. He's a guitar player. Has his own YouTube channel that I've monitored frequently. And like me, he does jiu-jitsu, though I'm kind of retired from that. Everybody, welcome. Welcome, Mark, from Music with Mark YouTube channel. How you doing?
Good. Hey, guys.
Yeah, man. So just everybody knows, we were talking about doing this, I think over probably like a year ago or something.
Yeah, it's been a ways. I was living in a different location at the time.
Yeah. We just couldn't catch up. And I just watched an episode from your show today. It looked like you were looking for input.
Yes, very much.
What contact to put on your YouTube channel? I'm like, let me hit him up now.
Yeah.
See if he's available. And just by coincidence, we decided to do it the same day.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Mark, can you give the both the viewers and, the listeners a little background on yourself? Like, how did you get into guitar and what made you decide to start a YouTube?
Oh, sure. And I picked up a guitar in, I know the exact day, August 1st, 1986. So, wow. A long time ago, but also later in life than most people. It was my junior and senior year of high school. And I was always interested in playing music. I would jump around my room with a tennis racket, pretend I was playing with Kiss when I was 8 years old, and I never actually picked up the instrument for real, but my parents had invited an exchange student, came from Italy and stayed that summer, and he knew a few guitar chords, and he showed me, he arrived on August 1st and he showed me a D chord and a C chord, and so I strummed a couple chords, and from there I couldn't put it down. It was my entire life became about guitar for the next decade. It was, I played 6-8 hours a day, schoolwork, forget that, social life. Yeah. Occasionally, but I'm thinking about writing a song as soon as I get home,
Yeah, that's so,
wild. Yeah. And then, I did the band thing back then. We had the hair metal band. It was the late '80s, early '90s. And we actually were doing pretty well right as grunge hit and metal just went away. And soon after that, I kind of gave up on music as a career. Did all the normal grown-up stuff, had a kid and still played guitar, but not in any kind of official capacity. And then I met, back in 2010, I met this guy, AJ, and I decided I was going to record some instrumental songs. And him and I just had a lot in common with talking about music. And he would come over, I teach him how to do recording stuff. And he ended up becoming the producer on the record. Every idea he had was a good idea. And him and I formed Dancer Infinity together, which is the band that I do live gigs with. And somewhere along the way, I guess about three and a half years ago, I decided to do the YouTube channel because I kind of have people tell me that I teach anyway, that I have a unique way of looking at it. And for certain people, it's really helped them play the instrument better than they did using other methods. So I decided to put that to the test, put it on YouTube and show my, my one student calls it like the GPS for guitar. So whatever you want to call it, I do that. I do some gear reviews and a lot of like, it's not the typical guitar lessons. It's always like unique ways to look at it. Or if I do a lesson on a, on another player like George Lynch or Jimmy Page or any of the old famous players, it's not how to copy them. It's how to take what they've done so you can incorporate it in your own style. Like, what do you learn from this and make into your own music instead of just copying what they're doing?
Yeah, that's like people who don't watch it now.
That's can't hear you.
For one of the things that unique things that you do on your channel is that you don't do like lessons verbatim.
Right, right.
Like you know, like Marty Schwartz or Andy Guitar or Justin Guitar, anybody who's into guitar or just trying to learn how to play guitar, those are like the, I guess, the godfathers of, so to speak.
Right, for sure, for sure.
Bigger YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But one of the ones I remember, I don't know if it was the first one that drew me to your channel. I think it was the one on George Lynch. Because I'm a big George Lynch fan.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll shoot you an email. I don't know if you know he's coming to Jersey.
No.
Oh yeah, I already bought my tickets. I'll send you the link to it. And I remember because I would like search like George Lynch licks. There's a couple other YouTube channels I follow that kind of focus on what he does. Like Jay Palmer, I've had him on my podcast and on my channel.
Right,
and then there's this other guy, Fuentes guy, but like they're like totally solely like dedicate themselves.
Right, right.
I remember like I think it was like of George Lynch.
Yeah,
I think that might have been the first one.
I think so. From remembering first contacting you, and Lynch, when I did that lesson, I was nervous to do that lesson because I wanted to do him justice, you know.
Yes.
And I caught some flack from some people on that too, because I talk about, and people take it as me insulting him. I talk about sloppy speed at points. And I'm not saying that the guy's a sloppy player because he turns it on, turns it off when he wants. What I'm saying is there's times you play almost with reckless abandon. Like if you play everything by the numbers and like right on the metronome and perfectly classical almost, that does not really express frustration and the kind of emotion you're doing in a rock and metal song. Sometimes you just got to let your fingers go, and it's okay if it's a little sloppy because now you're expressing what's actually in you.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to get across, but I got some guys, how dare you call him sloppy? I'm like, I didn't say he was sloppy. I said, he knows how to use sloppy speed when he wants to.
Yeah. I was actually online today. I think the guy's name was or something like that. I always get these like Facebook pop-ups, like if you want to learn like how to play like certain players, and he's got a Lynch course out there. And one of his comments, he wouldn't use sloppy, but he would use like he would say that Lynch is hard, his style is hard to teach because he goes with reckless abandonment the way he plays.
Right. And that's what that feeling is sometimes.
Yeah, which I kind of agree, like when you hear them. But the one thing I have to like express, if people who are listening to this don't know who he is, check him out. YouTube, go on YouTube, you know, look. He's got that just a signature way of playing.
Yeah.
Even when he does covers, like he does, like there's this channel, Blandy, this other cover band, and he plays with them sometimes. And even when he does covers of other people's music, it's still, you still hear his playing in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's one of those guys.
Yeah. So when you started out, like how long was it before when you started to, learn to play to the point where you started to
transcribing? I picked it up quick.
Really?
Like, you know, one of those things, like some things you struggle at, some things you just realize you were born to do. Like, you know, we're talking about jujitsu, right? I've been, I struggle at jujitsu. I've been doing it a long time and I kind of suck still. So, but guitar, man, it just came easy. I was, like a year into playing, I had transcribed the entire Under Lock and Key album. I can't say I played it all to speed, but I played a lot of it. And I was playing Yngwie licks back then already at that point. And yeah, I mean, I also played, even though you say it's a year, but it's also a year of really, it was like 8, sometimes 10 hours a day. Like it's a lot of hours. A lot of people might only play like an hour a day. So I was adding it up over a short period of time. And I also quickly stumbled onto the methodology, one of the big pieces of the methodology I teach on my channel, which was how to integrate the information faster and get your fingers to cooperate, which was the training in sprints instead of marathons. And I have like numerous lessons on that.
Yeah, I remember that one where you say it's better to do it in like multiple short periods.
And yeah.
Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do that. If I'm doing something that I find tedious, but I want to learn it, like if I'm doing, like if I'm practicing legato or alternate picking and I got like certain exercises I do, mm-hmm. I'll usually like do it. But other times I try to like, all right, here's an hour, set the timer. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. Same for an hour, you know, because I'm like, you know, I got, you know, kids and wife and everything and full time job. So that's interesting. So you started training and you did it all by ear because back then,
yes,
there was no YouTube.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine.
I got so good. I was doing it with vinyl records. I got so good. I could, like, if I was trying to learn a piece of a lick, I could lift the needle up and put it back just enough to go back to the, like, two measures. Like, it was crazy when I think about it. Like, I don't think I could do it anymore. And when CD players came out, I didn't like it. I couldn't, like, you know, it wouldn't quite go back at the exact number of seconds or whatever. Like, I could get the vinyl to go right where I wanted and keep playing that part over and over until I got it. And my ear got so good, I could tell you what string the guy was playing a lick on. Like, the magazines would come out with the transcription sometimes that I'd already done. And I'd look at it and go, no, that's not how he plays it. And then, you know, you'd go and see like an REH video or you might see him live or something and be like, yeah, see, that's where he's playing it. I was right. That's not on the B string. It's on the E string. I can hear it. They sound different.
Now, were you classic? Like, did you get training? Like, did you go to music school and all that?
When I graduated senior year, I went out to California and studied music theory on a piano. Didn't play any guitar there. It was just music theory. And that's where I learned like basic modal theory and everything. And one of the guys I was in school with there, him and I kind of together developed a way to translate that on the guitar, which is the whole GPS system I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And that I then, when I got back to New Jersey, I started teaching that as my system and really refined it by teaching it to students and just figured out because the guitar offers you a symmetrical neck. It's not like a piano or a sax or something where you have to know every note. You can kind of be a dummy and play guitar when it comes to theory because you can learn visual patterns, which for certain types of people's thinking is much easier to learn than memorizing the notes and all that. And so that's kind of for those people, that method is what I teach. And then you learn the notes in the, like the what you'd call like the more traditional theory, what the people that they get upset with me for teaching it the way I do, because they think I'm not teaching students the other stuff, but I teach them the visual recognition first and then teach them the other stuff after that. So they're playing it. And then if they're interested in learning what all the terms are and everything and all that traditional stuff, they can.
Now, how did you learn like all the techniques, like the legato and shred? Like if you didn't like
learning, transcribing other people's music. So really? I'm trying to learn, you know, the solo to In My Dreams, and he's got that one cross picking lick in there. It's the first time I came upon it. So I had to play it slow and then play it a little faster and then a little faster, you know, like that whole metronome sprint thing, you know, 5 minutes at a time, 15 minutes at a time.
Wow. That's amazing.
Because I wanted to play along with the record and be able to keep up with them. So I took the pieces that I couldn't do and spent time with them.
Now with your YouTube channel, you find that it's like difficult to come up with new content all the time, or
So what happened is after now the 3 or so years of doing it, I hit a point where like every lesson I would teach you, if you were my student, I've taught it. Like I've taught the lessons, I've done the whole theory thing, I've done all my techniques, all my tricks, all my rut busters, you know, every little weird angle I could think of, I've done that lesson. So like if we were together and I gave you all those lessons, we'd be at the point where I'd be like, you can't pay me anymore. Let's just jam. You know, like I've taught you everything I know. So I'm like, I don't want to just rehash lessons I already did, even though maybe I could do it a little better because I'm better at videos now and everything. But I don't want to rehash stuff that I already taught. So I was like, all right, I'm not burnt out, but I'm out of ideas. and I don't just want to teach a bunch of cover songs. And I'm not making enough. It's not the kind of thing where it makes so much money that, or that it's so big that people are sending me tons of gear. I get some software now and again and small bits of gear. But so if I'm going to review gear, I have to buy it. That gets really expensive.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. That's why I put up that video today.
Yeah. It's kind of weird though. Right. Cause, do you promote your channel at all? Like,
I promote the videos.
You post it on social media. Like
I do. So the most amount of traffic I get outside of YouTube to my videos is from Facebook. So I post on Facebook and I boost a post for each one of my videos, and I've kind of refined the audience to advertise it to. But I only spend 40 bucks a week, you know.
You don't do on groups or anything like that? Just curious.
On Reddit occasionally, if it's a lesson that matches kind of the conversation. And there's a guitar forum that I post on, but that's not hugely visited. I actually got last month I had hired a guy who's like a YouTube consultant, and he gave me some stuff that's really good, but it was like required doing short videos every day, and he gave me some suggestions for what would work, and some of the stuff I'd like to do, some of it's just he's like, you got to do your version of this finger picking lesson, you know, and it was like a classical thing and it's not a style that I could teach with confidence, so I can't do that one. And being able to do a short every day when you're making like 40 or 50 bucks a month on the channel and you have to a professional life too is real tough.
Yeah. It's kind of weird though, right? Cause I know I've seen some YouTube, it was like probably a year ago. I don't know what the hell I was looking for on YouTube. It was like the guy had nothing to do with music. The guy was doing something with wood. He had like probably like 10 videos. I think he had like over 100,000 subscriptions, and it was like some other person that I saw that had like a huge amount of subscriptions with only 5 videos.
Yeah.
And then I see like you put out a lot of content, but you know, and then you know, like, so it's like kind of like hard. Like, do you post weekly? Should you not post?
Yeah, I post every Wednesday, right? And I was doing, I did pick up when I was doing more shorts. I get about like 15 to 20 subscribers a day. I'm at 22,000 something right now.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the other guys are way beyond that. But if I was doing shorts regularly, it went up to like 50 or 60 subscribers a day. It really did make a jump. So that guy was right. It's just that it doesn't pay really. I'm, like I said, 30, 40, 50 bucks a month. And I've got like, you know, a real career that pays well. Yeah. And I need to focus on that. So I can't just make videos every day.
Yeah. And yours is not like, I don't want to put some other channels out like where they're doing instructionals, but they're just doing it on the fly while they're videotaping themselves.
I think
a whole backing track, and it's
right.
It's like pretty
spend time quality. On it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe had I started like 8 years before, 10 years before I did, maybe I would have gotten there. Like some of the channels I love, they probably don't spend much more time on the videos than I do. There's a couple of them where the production qualities are fantastic, but it seems like they have teams of people and all that. But a couple of the music channels, you take a guy like Rick Beato's got a huge channel, and it's just pretty much a music appreciation channel. He's sitting there talking to the camera. He's not spending a ton of time on production there or anything. So I think some of that's timing when you get in and maybe you catch something that just kind of takes off. I've thrown things at the wall just to see what would happen. You know, I was doing ones where I would do drills and you could drill along with me. And the ones that do the best generally though are the ones where I talk about like George Lynch or somebody famous and pick apart their style. But those take me weeks to prepare because first of all, I'm writing a song and picking out 5 things that I learned from them and using them in my own way in the song. So I've got to write a whole song, record the song, use the techniques, explain how I use the techniques without just copying them, as we were saying. Yeah. And so it was easy at first because you have 5 or 6 guys that influenced me and I had 30 years of playing their music to use. Now, if I'm doing lessons on somebody, I've got to pick somebody who didn't influence me early on and I've got to really pick apart their style and spend time with them and figure out what I can say with confidence about their playing.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that you sell commodity stuff like t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing one of them now.
Yeah. You find that to be worth your while or no?
Yeah, it's all print on demand, and I can make like one or two a day while I'm doing other work. The work I do has me on the computer all the time. So it doesn't interfere with other stuff that I'm doing. And I put them up on Etsy for the most part. I have them on the channel as well, but I've got like 100 and some items on Etsy. They're all for guitar players and musicians.
Do you have a Patreon channel too? Because I know some people, I use Buy Me Coffee. Some people use
Patreon. I do have Patreon, yeah.
Yeah, do you find that helps with
your... I only had like a handful of subscribers to it. I was actually just the other day thinking about... It's another thing, like as I've gotten along the way and realized, okay, this is not going to become anything that becomes a primary income. And now I've got to reconfigure where my kind of priorities are because my professional life is taking more time. I'm likely to stop the Patreon thing and just put some extra content up on YouTube and let it be part of that membership. So it's nice having people that are willing to give you money on Patreon and whatnot. But I was trying to provide some value add to like extra stuff for the lessons. And I put print materials up there and everything. But if you're only going to have a handful of people, you can't spend hours and hours and hours putting extra material together.
Now, you mentioned that you still have like a band.
Yes. Answer Infinity is the band that I do live music with. So I gig here in the New York metropolitan area with them. And we release a record like, you know, every few years. It's just when we get to it kind of thing. And then I have all my solo music, which I also release on the channel. And that's, I don't do any live shows behind that, but I get a lot of views on Spotify. It's like it's over 500,000 now.
Okay. Now, are you currently touring now with your band or?
We don't tour. It's just, we gig in the tri-state. Everybody in the band is like me. They've all got like good professional jobs.
Local bar, right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like bigger than a bar, smaller than an arena. You know, it's like Webster Hall or like Debonair, places like that. We're playing with nationally touring acts, but we're just keeping it in our area.
Okay. You have any upcoming shows for that?
Yeah, we just signed on to a touring band show on, I think it's October 14th. It'll be back at Debonair, which is in Teaneck. Okay. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly the details, but it's one of the bands coming through.
And do you have any like new music coming out, like solo?
Yeah, for me, the solo stuff is it had been on an every 5 week schedule. I got a little slowed down, but I'll be back on that schedule again. So I've got another one that'll be coming out at the end of August. And actually, I have been working a lot on vocals again, which I hadn't done for some time. And my girlfriend's a really good singer and she likes to go singing. So got me back into doing it again. And so I've been working on some techniques to sing higher and just, it's been getting a lot better. And that'll be my next single is going to feature some of the new vocal stuff I've been working on.
Oh, wow. That's an advantage.
Oh, I can't hear you again. I'm sorry. When you move over that way, I can't hear you.
Oh, I said like, that's like an advantage for you if you can sing, right?
Yeah.
I can't sing.
Usually with the solo stuff, I'm working with studio musicians as singers. Cause I like, there's a few guys that I work with whose voices I just love. And so I like giving them music to work on, but every so often I get one and I'm inspired to write my own vocals for it. And this was one of those times.
And you do it all. You do all the production in your house.
I've got
all the tracks yourself right there in your home studio, right?
Correct. Correct. It's all here. Same place I do the videos. In this instance with this single, I had it mixed out in Utah. I work with this guy who also has a YouTube channel. He's known as Magic Jones. And he owns Art City Sound out there. I had done a mix on it and I didn't like it. I sent it to him and he sent me back a great mix.
Oh, okay. And then you just add that right in.
Yeah.
To your studio software.
Yeah.
I think you used the Reaper, right?
I use Reaper. Yeah. I have a whole video on watching. Yeah. I used to use Cubase and then I switched to Reaper.
Yeah. I told you. I watched that one too.
Yep.
I recently, downloaded, I think, like a few weeks ago. Because one of my apps came with Cubase. But I'm like, oh, but I have like the laptop that's on. It's like really, really slow. So I got another one that's older, but it's like really fast. Well, I'm going to try the Reaper on that one.
Yeah.
Cubase won't install on that because it's Windows 7.
Not a new version.
Windows 10, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Reaper's great. There's one single thing that Cubase still does better, and that's when you need to edit vocals. That's it. Everything else I'd prefer Reaper for.
Wow. Now, have you thought of, I know certain channels, have you ever thought, because I know you said you do collaborations with other YouTubers. Have you ever tried to do ones with multiple YouTubers?
No, I haven't. I did I had done a thing where I put out a contest, like write a melody over this thing. Uh-huh. The win doesn't trigger until I had 20 submissions, because I didn't want to just have like 3 submissions to choose from. And I actually didn't get enough submissions to ever finish it. So I felt bad for the guys that did send stuff in. I just, like, it's just sitting there undone.
Yeah, because I've seen some people putting out, like, they'll have like a massive
bunch
of, like, you know, people. Yeah, like, I guess they mixed the video together.
Yeah, I think
fell over
some of those things like that. It's been, I think you have to have just like a certain level of following to get people involved in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do you do other than guitar and work and jiu-jitsu? What do you do?
I play baseball. I play amateur baseball. So I'm still doing that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Once a week we have a game. I got a game tomorrow night. It's a hard ball. So I'm a pitcher on the team. I've been doing that since I was a little kid and just through the levels of the years. And what else do I do? I mean, work takes a lot of time. Work and music is most of it. I still play guitar hours a day. It takes a lot of my time, and then spending time with my girl.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. And you have no problems with your shoulder from pitching?
No, I had a problem with my elbow finally after, like, it was so about 4 years ago, my elbow hurt. And that's after like many years of doing it. And I had to take a couple years off. And then I just this year got back to it again.
I was going to say, right? It's like sucks, right? It's like you wouldn't think about it. Like, you know, like it's like repetitive motion, they say, always causes like injuries, right? Like,
yes. Yes.
I know pitchers get rotator cuffs. My shoulder is all like weak now.
Yeah.
Heavy.
The funny thing is, you think with, so like, yeah, jiu-jitsu, I'm competing, I'm fighting, basically, right? And all last year, like when I was just starting to work out and get ready to play ball again, I hurt my ankle making a move off of the mound. I got hit with a ball. Like, I got all my injuries came in baseball. I was perfectly fine. I could go through jiu-jitsu class every day and not have a single injury. I play baseball and I'm like, I got a sprained ankle.
That's good though, man. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, my advice to you, if you can make the time, I would recommend doing yoga, man.
Yes.
One thing I regret I didn't do. I'll probably still be doing it too.
My lady says the same thing to me constantly. She's a yoga instructor too, so we'll see. I definitely want to get into it at some point. I know it's good.
Yeah. Now, if you had a name like other than George Lynch, like who would be your other musical influences?
Yeah, the early influences were him, Yngwie Malmsteen, Viv Campbell from Dio.
Okay.
A lot of his stuff seeped into my playing. Jakey Lee, rhythm playing, not lead playing, just some of the chord voicings he used, a lot of the 9 chords, those sunk in. A lot of people, when I first started, said that I sounded like Joe Satriani a lot. But he wasn't somebody that I actually spent time learning his stuff all that much until later when I had already formed a style. But I did notice that I seemed to approach the instrument similarly to him. And the one thing that I did get from him that was a huge part of my playing was writing instrumental songs to treat them like vocal songs. So like a lot of the instrumental stuff that I would listen to back then, it was just like a backing pad for some guy to show off, basically. With Satriani, you get a song. It was like, here's a verse, here's a chorus. The guitar is replacing the vocals. It actually sang something to you that meant something. And so I took that to heart. And when I would write instrumentals, I wanted to make sure I made real songs out of the instrumentals, not just a reason to solo.
Where do you get your inspiration when you're writing your songs? Like, do you like think of the melody first, or you just think of the words first, or something, you see something going on in your life and then something pops in your head?
Yeah, all different ways. So with instrumental music, usually that happens. As I said, I'm playing a ton every day, right? So a lot of my method is I'm working on something new that I want to be able to do that I couldn't do before, some lead technique or something. And I do that for 5 minutes. And then I've still got the drum loop going or the metronome. And then I just start jamming. I'm playing a riff or something, playing some chords so that I can come back to the riff. I'm giving my fingers a break. I'm coming back. And something I jam while I'm doing that random stuff, I'll be like, oh, that's a cool riff. And I save that. And a lot of those turn into instrumental songs. And then reasons to like use new techniques. The stuff with vocals, usually I don't think of the vocal first. I have a different kind of guitar music that's not so riff based, or maybe I know it's not going to be as complex when I write it. And I think, okay, this needs to have vocals on it. And if I'm sending it out to another singer, it's the vocals is all them. I have nothing to do with it. I tell them to write whatever they feel and want to write. If I'm singing it, it's because I was playing it and a melody came to mind. Now I've got a melody and I got to find words that fit that melody. So that, and that's what happened with the one that's coming out next.
Okay.
Yeah, I had like a chorus and the word waiting came to mind. I was like, I kept singing the first line of the chorus. And I'm like, all right, I'm waiting for something. I don't know what I'm waiting for. Now I start writing about stuff going on in my life. You know?
Yeah, it was. It's kind of interesting how people get their different inspirations. They always.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of other people write lyrics. They have a meaning. They have a topic, and then they fit that to music. For me, the music sounds always come first, and then the lyrics come last.
Yeah, I think that's how Elton John does it.
Say again.
I think that's what Elton John actually does.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think I remember.
Yeah,
but that's all interesting. Well, man, it was great having you on the podcast, and I'm hopefully you get hit with inspiration for new content on your.
I got some good ideas from the guys, and I have a spreadsheet with additional stuff for content. What I'm down to now for content is stuff that will take me a month to produce each time. Like one of the things is going to be my Mount Rushmore of guitar players, but I have to cut up clips and then I got to figure out how not to have copyright strikes by using clips, you know, and the whole thing is it's going to take me a month or 2 months to produce. So if I'm trying to do stuff weekly, I'm out of like that stuff.
Yeah. But you know, like one guy, the one channel, the one with the wood, whatever the hell it was, the guy says, he's like, don't worry about posting often.
Right.
Like people don't actually sit there waiting. You know,
that's true.
But, you know, although there was that guy, I'll shoot you a link if you don't follow him, is Jay Palmer. His channel, he had a unique thing, but when he had a series called it Guitar Gladiators. So yeah. He would match up different guitarists, like you'll have Lynch versus Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Lynch versus Warren Mateen. And then he would let the people through their comments pick the winner.
Oh, that's cool.
So he had that going on for, I think, four or 6 weeks. So I was like clicking it because he would be playing.
Yeah.
The whatever the song was that each artist.
Oh, is that how he got around copyright? That's the problem I have. Like when I want to talk about other people's songs, I never know when YouTube's going to like blacklist the video.
I'll check him out. I'll send you the link later.
Okay.
Yeah. And then for everybody who's watching this video, if you haven't already, please like and subscribe to this channel. And the link to Music with Marky's channel will be in the description below of both this YouTube channel as well as my podcast. So you can guys check out his channel. And if you can, check out the description below to my other podcast for MMA, as well as my instructional video, as well as my fictional books that I've written. Well, the Cabal, the Saga Begins, as well as Marcus, the Vampire. All right, everybody, keep checking. And
thanks for having me.
Mark, it was a great pleasure. And to everybody out there, don't forget, keep on rocking.
This is Elizabeth Knittle, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi everyone, this is your host, Mark the Shark. I want everybody to know that not only do I have this podcast, I have another podcast about the sport of mixed martial arts. So if you're into that kind of thing, check out my other podcast called The Mark the Shark MMA Show. And if you want to be on that show or this show, make sure you contact me on Facebook at Mark the Shark MMA Show. And that's my Facebook channel. Or you can go to my website, www.markwithac.com. Again, it's www.markthesharkmmashow.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at mark_ritorto2. That's Mark, MARC_ritorto, RITORTO 2. That's for Instagram, or Mark BJJ Fighter on Twitter. And also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channels. I got the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. That's Rockin' with Mark with a C again. Or the Mark the Shark MMA Show, all on YouTube. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast and keep on listening. Hi, everyone. Well, fortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, the Mark the Shark Show, and keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.